Today on Real Life Radio.
The government cannot help us when it comes to the masses losing hope and being tempted to give up or to go to the bottle or start taking drugs. And our leaders don't understand that, after all, because we are a non-essential entertainment venue in their eyes. But when the power of God arrives, that's a different story.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series called The Why Series with the message called The Holy Spirit in the Life of the Believer, Part 6. You know, if we want the Holy Spirit to lead our lives, it's a conscious choice we need to make each and every day. What does that look like in the life of the believer? Well, it's when we watch, listen, and pray for the Holy Spirit to guide us to God's purpose for our lives. You see, God tells us that we can depend on the Bible for answers. We can also rely on the Holy Spirit's power to do what we never thought was possible. You know, life really makes no sense sometimes. There are pressures on us today that we didn't see coming. But God sees everything and has everything under control. There is no outside force that can come against us that is greater than the one we have within us. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack tells us to keep seeking after the Lord and to keep asking for the Holy Spirit's help. In times of trouble, we can do more than just cope. We can be fully energized with the power of the Holy Spirit. And now, in his message called The Holy Spirit in the Life of the Believer, Part 6, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Heavenly Father, we come this evening, and we thank you for this amazing time. I know that our church family is near and far, and I just want to thank you, Lord, that summer has been here for now a week and a half, and it's glorious here in Southern California. I thank you for all of your generosities that you give us. And Lord, we do also pray that in all of these generosities, the number one thing is that you would deposit afresh your Holy Spirit's power upon us to not only teach the Bible, but to ingest the Bible, and then that we would experience your power, the power of your Holy Spirit, that Lord, we'd go out and we'd live a life that people like our governor would have to sit up and take notice. Man, these people love God. That he'd have to say, that makes total sense. Or that he would have to say, I've never heard such things before. And I believe. We pray for him. We pray for his precious wife and his kids. We pray for these 50 states and our territories. And Father, we pray that you'd send great revival to America. We pray that you would descend upon our country and God, that there'd be a great outpouring of your Holy Spirit. And please, I beg of you, God, start here, right here, in this church, on this point, that you might sweep the nation and the world with the last day's outpouring of your Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen to that. So church, here we go tonight. We are in the Why series, and you know that we've been studying intimately. Now we are looking at, I think, something like our fifth study on the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. And this is so important to us, especially now at this time of life for the church. And so grab your Bibles and turn, if you would, to Zechariah chapter 4. Zechariah chapter 4. While you're turning there, go to Matthew. If you don't know your Bible, shut your Bible. And then you can do this, I guess. If you close your Bible, go right down the middle and open it up. You're going to land in the book of Psalms or Isaiah. You'll come either to Isaiah or Psalms. Go to the little bit to the right. So turn to the right. And of course, before you get to Matthew, you're going to come up there. You'll see Zechariah. And in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, there is a statement made there that is perfect for tonight's study and for you and I in our lives. The dynamic of Israel is that they were in peril. And Israel was trying to find its way back to God. And they were stumbling and seeking and crying. And they were desperate before God. And God gave Zerubbabel the answer through the prophet Zechariah. And that answer is as needed today as it was 3,000 years ago, 2,800 years ago. And that is found in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. In fact, I've often mentioned on Sundays as we look to the seven churches that in our foyer, behind your shoulders, behind your head, in the foyer is a seven lampstand menorah. And on it in Hebrew is written Zechariah 4, 6 in Hebrew. And that verse says, "So he answered and said to me, 'This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel.'" It's regarding the restoration and the reformation of Israel. And I quote him now. God is speaking, "Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit," that is the Holy Spirit, "says the Lord of hosts." And from that moment on, the nation's leaders were to be dependent upon God's word by the power of the Holy Spirit to do the impossible. Did you hear that? They were to be dependent upon God's word, the power of the Holy Spirit to accomplish the impossible. That's exactly what you and I need today. Are you anxious? Are you pressured? Are there weights upon you? I have to confess, there's weights upon me. Look, don't panic. I'm fine. I'm not sick. I saw last week I went like this. I don't know if you know this, but I went like this during one of the services because I had an itch on my nose. And I went like this and the social media lit up and said, "Oh my goodness, don't touch your face. You're going to get COVID. Are you sick?" I'm not sick. In fact, I think I'm going to be able to prove to you later that I had COVID in late December, but I won't confirm it until I get tested. But I'm good. What I'm saying is I need to just let the church and its existence belong to God, because today I'm so blessed by so many. We had over 500 pastors and Christian workers join us today. I asked openly, I just said, "Hey, pastors in California, Christian workers, if you want to join me today at noon Pacific time to talk about what do we need to do to reopen our churches, then please log on." We had over 550 people get their place and logging on. And we had that meeting today, and it was absolutely epic and exciting because pastors are motivated. Christian workers want to get back to work, and we want to do what God has called us to do. And we want to, listen, the dilemma, the pressure, and I appreciate your prayers, is this, that I want to honor, it's been so hard. I want to honor the demands or commands of our government to a point. We have obeyed every line, every precept, every guess, every whim that our government has laid upon us. And now nothing seems to make sense anymore. The doctors are arguing with doctors, politicians are arguing with politicians, and science is being rejected and whimsical ideas are being embraced, and it's topsy-turvy right now. And it's so hard for me to just be, as it were, a sacrifice silent before its tormentors, because none of this makes sense to me. And in what I am thinking, I cannot honestly reveal to you publicly. I just won't do it. But the church is being silenced. The nation is to experience its next wave. It's not a flu, but its next wave from the coronavirus activity of our nation will be extreme financial problems, extreme. And what the flu didn't get, then suicide and depression could possibly do that. We live in a very precarious time. You say, "Jack, what are you saying?" That more than ever right now, we need to get into God's word, be dependent upon the Holy Spirit for the power of God to manifest, because for this reason, the government cannot help us when it comes to the masses losing hope and being tempted to commit suicide or to give up or to go to the bottle or start taking drugs. And our leaders don't understand that. After all, because we are a non-essential entertainment venue in their eyes. But when the power of God arrives, that's a different story. When the power of God comes, all things change. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came, and even the detractors had to say, "What is that noise? What are those people saying? And I don't want to put anything in front of the rapture of the church because theologically you can't. But I'm praying like you are that God would send a revival to his church so the lost might get saved by the witness of the church. How is that going to happen? By the power of the Holy Spirit falling upon people who have an extreme dependence upon God because they are fastened to his word, the Bible. That's what we need. And I believe that's the direction God is taking California. With all due respect, our local county and state officials are not in charge. God's in charge. And in the end, Jesus said, the gates of hell will not prevail against my church. And that is still true. It's still in the Bible. Matthew chapter 16, right around verse 18. It's still true. So we need his power. When we talk about his power, what is it that we're speaking about? Oh, write this down. Please get this, friends. This is the passage now from here on out that I wish you and I could be together around a coffee table. Here we go. Luke 11. Turn there if you would, please. Luke chapter 11. It's absolutely amazing. I want you to be thinking now, to whom is he speaking? That is, to whom is he speaking? And what is he telling them? Luke chapter 11, look at verse 5. And he, Jesus, said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey and I have nothing set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut. My children are in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend. In other words, get out of here, man. I'll talk to you tomorrow about it. This is ridiculous. My kids are in bed. That's a whole nother Bible teaching, by the way. It's the significance of that, where he says, I can't rise because my kids are in bed. It's a fascinating Bible study. Why the man shut down his friend to not give him bread at midnight. This guy's not being a bad friend. There was a protocol to putting your family to sleep in the common dwellings of the Galilee. It's beautiful and it's perfect to what we're talking about. No, I'll talk to you tomorrow. No, but my friend suddenly arrived and I know it's midnight, but I need 3 loaves of bread. Yet because of his persistence, the man will arise and give him as many as he needs. Hey, I'll give you 5 loaves of bread if you don't come back again. Luke 11, verse 9. So I say to you, ask, listen everyone, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Do you hear that invitation? Wow. You know what though? Do we even care enough? Are we desperate enough? Are we desperate enough? Even now, are we desperate enough that we would ask God? How much time have you spent asking God to do things for your life and at this time for your church and for your community and for your nation, wherever you live? Are you asking yet? Are we desperate enough to be on our face asking? Are we desperate enough? And then seeking, that's more intense. Asking, by the way, we need to make note of this. It's not ask and then you give up asking and then you seek and then you give up seeking and then you knock. It's not that. No. You see, Pastor, you just read that. No, I didn't. The word actually means ask, keep on asking. While you're asking, keep on seeking. Keep on asking, keep on seeking. Hear the desperation? And then he says, knock, keep on knocking. Don't stop. Don't give up. He says, and it will be open to you. Verse 10, for everyone who asks receives. Man, that's a huge statement. Everyone asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be open to him. If a son, notice what he's answering. This is so amazing. He said, where are you going with this? Oh, you'll know in a moment. Jesus says, if a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? That's pretty cruel. Can you imagine if some kid that's running around church, not now, but before, if a kid ran up and said, hey, Jeff or Jack or Tom or Fred, I'm hungry. Can I have some bread? And we said, sure, kid. And we pulled out a rock that looks like bread, but it's a rock. And we hand it to the kid, and the kid bites into it and cracks his teeth, and we're laughing. That's pretty cruel. That's pretty sick. When the disciples heard this, they're going, that's ridiculous. Nobody would do that. No one would give a kid a stone. These are obvious, very hyperbole, intentionally. Jesus is intentionally exaggerating the moment when a child would be radically offended by somebody acting like that. Of course, the answer is nobody would act like that. Nobody's that heartless. Or if he asks for a fish, will you give him a snake instead of a fish? Who would do that? Nobody would do that. I'm sorry, but we're so spoiled, and we know this so true, that if you and I order a hamburger without onions, and we pull up then to pick it up through the window, and it's got onions, it's like, what is this? This is insane. I ordered it without onions. This is unbelievable. I'm going to report you to the food Nazis or something. But then you can't do that. I ordered it without onions. Everybody knows that. Nobody orders fish and hands them a snake. You go order a Big Mac and you drive through the window and the guy hands you a python? I don't think so. Jesus is exaggerating the reality of what he's about to drop on them. Or if he asks for an egg, will you give him a scorpion? Come on. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, here it comes, here it comes. How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And this is the force of tonight's teaching. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He's talking about you asking for the Holy Spirit. Please make note of this. This has nothing to do with salvation. This has nothing to do with the indwelling of the believer at the moment of conversion, when the Holy Spirit takes up residence in your life. Oh, no, 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 no. How much more will your heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit when and if you ask him? The whole setup presupposes that you are going to keep asking Jesus for the Holy Spirit for the rest of your Christian life. Hear me out. Pastor, does that mean I can lose my salvation and then I got to ask him? This has nothing to do, as I said, about salvation. This has everything to do with Zerubbabel hearing Zechariah 4, verse 6. Power coming to you, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit. The power comes by the Spirit, not by your might, not by your power, but by his power. We do not do Christianity. Christ does Christianity to us by the power of the Holy Spirit. If you believe in Jesus and you're so tired because you feel like you're rolling a gigantic ball up a hill, you need to step aside and let it go. Just let it roll, because that's not how it is. In fact, if anything, you're the ball and the Holy Spirit's rolling you up the hill. You need that power. John chapter 20, verse 19. Do make a mark of this. John 20, verse 19. Now, this answers to your common thought is, I thought when the Holy Spirit came to me, I was saved. That is true. When the Holy Spirit, as I said a moment ago, comes to reside in you, when he comes inside, you need to make a note. Is the Holy Spirit inside of me? The answer is yes, if you're a born-again believer. Listen. What happens to me at the moment of being born again? That's easy to answer. Because of the Spirit of God working upon your life, you're convicted of your sins. The Holy Spirit points out the reason why Christ went to the cross, and it's the Holy Spirit that teaches you that Christ rose from the dead. And the moment you see that Christ Jesus is your Savior, in that moment of conversion, the Holy Spirit comes inside of you, pay attention, never to leave you. That's John 20, beginning at verse 19. Follow along with me, Bible students. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, that's Sunday, when the doors were shut and the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, that is the Jewish religious hierarchy, not the Jewish people, Jesus came and stood in the midst of them. By the way, the word implies that he immediately appeared. He didn't knock on a door. He was instantly before them, and he said to them, "Peace be to you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Isn't that awesome? He shows them his holes in his hands, his crucified wrists, actually, technically, right here, right? And then he shows them, actually the right side, shows them the right side of his massive wound that the spear entered his body upon the cross. And so scripture says, then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Verse 21, listen, this is after the resurrection. He's already been resurrected. Jesus appears to them supernaturally, reveals to them his scars. Isn't that amazing to think right now, my friend, in heaven above, Jesus is bearing his scars. His scars. Those scars are testimony forever and ever, his love for you. No wonder why John said when he saw heaven opened and he saw the Lamb seated upon the throne, and there in the midst of the 24 elders, the Lamb stood as though it had been slain, a mutilated lamb. And the Bible tells in the book of Revelation that, of course, that lamb is Jesus Christ. Jesus is scarred right now. In fact, the Bible tells us in the book of Zechariah, beginning at chapters 12 out to 14, that when Christ returns in the second coming to Israel, guess what? Israel, that the remnant of Israel will look when he's coming and say, "Where did you get these wounds in your body?" Isn't that amazing? Friends, listen. Oh my goodness, my dear Jewish friends, listen to me carefully. Your prophets say that in the last days when the Messiah does come back to Jerusalem, listen, the Jews will ask him, "Where did you get these wounds in your body?" My friends, my Jewish friends, have you ever thought about that? You say, "We don't believe Jesus came the first time like you guys as Christians." Nope, we believe our Messiah is still coming. Well, he came 2,000 years ago. He's coming again. The second coming is really, to you, you're thinking the first coming, but in reality, it's called the second coming in the Bible, because the first coming was him coming to Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. But can you explain this away? But you can't. I'm lovingly being sarcastic. I love my Jewish friends, and I know how to talk to them. How is it that your Messiah, when he returns to you the first time, to us the second time, he will appear scarred up? Who said? Zechariah says. Who's he? He's in your prophets. Read your Old Testament. Isn't that amazing? Whoever the Messiah of Israel is, that when he comes to Israel, he's scarred.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in his message called "The Holy Spirit in the Life of the Believer, Part 6. Thanks for joining us today. You know, "The Holy Spirit in the Life of the Believer, Part 6 is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Why Series. It's a series that brings to light the difficult questions of life as we look to God's Word for all the answers. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Hey, do you ever find yourself wondering if you have the strength to hope for better? Creating healthy boundaries in your life really can help. So does learning to say no when you're feeling overwhelmed. But what can really give you vitality mentally and spiritually is spending some quality time with the Lord. That's where we come in. Simply go to our website, jackhibbs.com, and then click on that tab that says Devotions. Once you're there, you'll see how devotions really can be the best part of your day. There are new devotions every week. You can also check out previous ones for your daily devotions. We'd also like to encourage you to download Pastor Jack's Real Life mobile app for on-the-go strength and encouragement. You can access the Real Life mobile app through the App Store or from our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.